title of the message this morning is about Abba, Father. I will be reading Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Because you are God's children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into us to call out Abba, Father. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of a father who has been an inspiration through his love and dedication. I pray you continue to bless them. We ask that you guide them to be a good role models and loving to their children. We also ask that you help them to be a father like you. Today we give you our hearts, our minds, and our lives. Come, speak your words, for you are our wise counselor, our perfect teacher. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Abba, Father. The Bible declares God is our Father. To call God our Father means that He is near to us, intimately concerned with us. Not only God is our Father, but also He is our Heavenly Father. We belong to God as a child belong to His Father. He is our Father, He is our Heavenly Father, but also He is our everlasting Father. If God, He is your everlasting Father, meaning He is your Father forever and He will never disown you. Also, He is our good Father. God cares for us as a good father, cares for His children. So He is our Heavenly Father, He is our everlasting Father, He is our good Father, also He is our all-knowing Father. God, our Father, knows the thoughts and feelings of everybody. In other words, He knows what inside in the hearts and the heads of His children. Another one, He is our all-powerful Father. He has the ability and strength to do whatever He pleases. Because He is all-powerful, so He can help us, or He can help you with everything. So God is our Father. He is our Heavenly Father. He is our everlasting Father. He is our good Father. He is our all-knowing Father. He is our powerful Father. But also, He is our perfect Father. God is the ideal Father, the perfect example to all fathers. So this is the question. If God is our Abba Father, our good Father, and our perfect Father, then why do innocent people suffer? How can God continue to allow pain and grief? Why does Abba Father allow the good and the godly to suffer? Why does suffering continue? How can we maintain that God is good in the face of all this brokenness? If God is our Abba Father. So what is the answer? The answer is, we need to understand the meaning of Abba Father. So number one, Abba Father, it reminds us of our intimate relationship to our Heavenly Father. So the word intimate is missing here. This is not my fault. I'm not blaming my wife. No, sorry about that. I don't know about that. So it reminds us of our intimate relationship to our Heavenly Father. So that's the meaning of Abba Father. The word Abba is an Aramaic word. Abba is an affectionate name used by children in the Jewish culture for addressing their father. It is similar to our word daddy. Abba Father is one of the most significant names of God in understanding how he relates to people. Having an intimate personal relationship with us was the goal of God. The goal of the Christian life is to develop a personal relationship to God as a father. Our ultimate goal as a Christian is to know Christ and to be like him. The Bible has many scriptures showing that it is God who is most interested than you and I to have intimacy with his children. Believers can be saved and eternally secure, yet relationally distant from the Lord. Some Christians show little interest in spiritual things and are unaware of the shallowness of their interactions with God. Others are confused and frustrated, wondering why they don't hear his voice or feel his presence. Even though they attend church, read the Bible, and pray, he still seems to be far away. Another thought, intimacy with God is a strange concept. How can I be intimate with someone I cannot see? How can I be intimate with someone I cannot hear? How can I be intimate with someone I cannot touch? God and I cannot go out for coffee or even give each other a hug. Yet we know that God created us for intimate fellowship with him. Sometimes we don't understand as a human, but God wants us to have intimate fellowship with him. But you know, sometimes God allows adversity in our lives to get our attention. Adversity is a bridge to a deeper relationship with God. So why does Abba allow suffering and pain? Suffering and pain leads to great commitment, obedience, and intimacy to our Heavenly Father. The second meaning is, it reminds us of his love and care. If we cry Abba, it means it reminds us of his love and care. As the children of God, we have the privilege to experience God's intervention. When we are in trouble, he is our Heavenly Father, and he will come to our rescue when we are in danger. Therefore, we can boldly call upon him in our time of distress, and he will deliver us because we are his children. God is all around us if we only pause to look and see, to stop and be quiet and feel his great strength. Be still and know that I am God. In all things, He invites us to address him with the title Abba, Father. He loves us. He loves you and me so much. Sometimes God's love in the form of discipline. People call us, oh, you are so faithful. But we are not perfect. Sometimes it is the Father who disciplines us. It is the Father who corrects us, who punishes us, who guides us and restores us. Our Heavenly Father sometimes uses adversity to produce maturity and to produce growth and maturity in his children. My son, do not despise if the Lord discipline you, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. God's discipline is designed to make us like his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as son. For what son is not disciplined by his father? That God, our Father, is interested in every little detail of your life. God, he is our caring Father. He concerned about every little detail in your life. There is a man, he said, I'm a Christian, but I don't feel like I'm going anywhere in my Christian life. I'm kind of stuck in neutral. The pastor said, what do you think the problem is? He said, I think my problem is I just don't love God enough. The pastor said, that's not your problem. Your problem is not that you don't love God enough. Your problem is that you don't understand how much he loves you. Love is always a response to love. We love because he first loved us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. When you say, I don't love God enough, it is because you don't understand how much he really loves you. He cares about every detail of your life. He is a compassionate and caring. He is our loving Father. He cares about you, regardless of where you have been, what you have done. The failures, the hurts, the struggles. God loves you so much. The third meaning is, it reminds us of our total trust in God, our Father. It reminds us of our total trust in God, our Father. When we cry Abba, we are expressing our complete trust and dependence to our God. We may feel it or not. When you become a child of God, yes, he has promised that he will always be with you. When God promises to be with us, it does not mean that troubles will be absent. God never promised that life will be pain-free or that you will never endure the common hardship of being human in a broken world. When trouble comes, it does not mean God has abandoned us. He is always with us, and he will give us the strength wisdom, faith that we need to endure them. He will not allow difficulties, or He will not allow difficult times to overtake us. Yes, we all experience suffering in vain. Sometimes we suffer about disappointment in your job or schoolwork. We suffer about death and loss of loved ones. We suffer about trouble with children and grandchildren. We suffer about marital difficulty, separation. We suffer about unforgiveness. We suffer about bitterness, loneliness. Most of the time, we suffer about health issue or long-term sickness. Or sometimes we suffer about financial difficulties, depression. Remember, when we face trials, we are not alone. He is ever near to us. He who delights to be called by us, Abba, Father, is all around us. There is no place where He is not. When we are in the dark moment of your life or any situation, He is there. When we are in danger, He is there. When we face trouble, He is there. Jesus did not say, "Oh, great, follow me. You will be happy. You will be healthy, wealthy, prosperous, successful." He said, "Just know this. I don't have any place to lay my head. It's going to cost you everything." Sometimes suffering is a tool God uses to get our attention and to accomplish His purposes in our lives. It is designed to build our trust in Him. I remember the song. You want me to song, to sing? No. "When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you are God." Trust God and believe in good things to come. Again, I repeat, Abba, Father, it reminds us of our relationship or of our intimate relationship to our Heavenly Father. Second, it reminds us of His love and care. It reminds us of our total trust in God, our Father. Four things to remember when you are under suffering and pain. Number one, God will never stop loving me. Number two, God's purpose for my life is bigger than my problems. Number three, God always keeps His promises. And number four, God is my Father. God loved us so much. He gave His life for you and for me. Let us watch this video.
Thank you, June, for sharing that word with us. It's a wild, crazy thought to think that the God who existed before time, the God who is all-powerful, whose wisdom is beyond our grasp of intellectuality, the God who is above all and is better than we can even think or imagine, he's the God that looks at us and says, I want to be your father. I want you to be my child. He is our daddy in heaven. Thank you again, June, for that. We have communion this morning. And as we approach the Lord's table, we are reminded that our Father, who may seem distant at time, gives us this table, gives us the bread and the cup as a tangible reminder of our connection with him, of our union, our communion with him and with one another. I'll ask my helpers to come forward. The Lord Jesus, on the day that he was betrayed, took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Here at the Free Church, we practice what is called open communion, which means that you don't have to be a member or a tender of this church to partake. You just have to simply belong to the universal church. If you belong to God's family, if he has rescued you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, if you confess that he is Lord and that God is your Father, you are welcome to take. Please take it and then hold on to it so we can take together. Let us pray. Jesus, we thank you for this table. We thank you for what it represents. We thank you that this is a time of celebration. Celebration of your sacrifice. Celebration that you were obedient to your Father in being broken on the cross for us. Thank you for what you've achieved for us through that act. And thank you for this time now that we can remember and celebrate that together. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us eat. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this. Whenever you do this, remember in remembrance of me." Let's drink together. I'll close in prayer, and I'll also be praying for the meal afterwards. Lord Jesus, you spilt your blood on our behalf. And in some way, because you spilt your blood, you make us clean. You tell us that we've been made whiter than white, whiter than snow. There's no way that we can ever repay you. But Father, we want to live our lives as a reflection of your goodness. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for bringing us into fellowship with you. We thank you for adopting us as your children. We want to cry out, Abba, Father, our daddy in heaven. We love you so much. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this service. And this message, I thank you for the meal that we can share together right now, and I ask your blessing on it and our conversations around the table. I thank you for the women who have provided and who are looking after the details. Father, I pray that you would bless them. Thank you for each father here, and I pray that you would reveal yourself to them even more today, and that they would reflect to their families and their friends and their loved ones how good a father can be. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand for the benediction. Go in the love of the Father, the peace of His Son, and fellowship with His Spirit. Amen.